Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Welcome back to the Rare on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. Travis Ryer, alongside my great friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard. Brent, we have put a wrap on the 2025 SEC spring meetings. We'll get into some notes and nuggets from that event, including probably both of our very favorite items to come from that annual event in Destin, Florida. That, of course, being the week 2, the week 3 kickoff times that we get for Southeastern Conference football, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's a lot to get into with the SEC meetings, but it's almost like the magazines, Trav, which I'll update during the podcast, is a rite of spring, shall we say, and people want to know those kickoff times. And Trav, they're not, some of them aren't real happy with the times. As far as,
oh, wow. We'll get into a rundown. If you missed those earlier, we're live, by the way, on a Thursday night. So if you're checking in here live with us on Ryer on YouTube, we certainly appreciate you doing that. Jump into the comments. If you got a question, a comment, maybe even a suggestion for Second Helping, but sure, we'll get into more of those recently released kickoff times and network designations for SEC football for the early weeks of the upcoming season. But, man, still so much talk about the potential for a 16-team playoff, an expanded playoff going from 12. What does that mean for the Southeastern Conference in terms of 9 conference games, perhaps? In the future, these are all things we thought would be popular talking points during these SEC meetings. But you know what? I didn't necessarily have the ADs and the coaches being on a little bit of a different wavelength when it came to a potential format for a 16-team playoff.
And what Travis is talking about is the ADs in that 16 looking at a 4-4-2-2 model, obviously meaning 4 for the SEC, 4 for the Big Ten, 2 for the ACC, and 2 for the Big 12, and 1 for the non-Power 4. And then the coach is wanting a 5-11 and is what they would like to do, and that obviously – is talking about one automatic bid for ACC, Big 12, Big 10, and SEC, and then 11 at-large bids, which look, if you've got 11 at large bids, if you're like the SEC or the Big Ten, man, you could get five or six of those, frankly. But I mean, Trav, did that, it kind of surprised me, yes, with you, that they're not on the same page. And talk with some people today, I think the other surprise was, I mean, you're there with coaches, ADs, and presidents for 3 days, and people are asking some honest questions like, why did they not get more done than they did?
Yeah, it does. It feels like in some ways we're further away coming out of SEC meetings than we were going in.
Yeah.
In terms of having kind of a foreseeable resolution about what this thing is even going to look like. Now, look, coach is coach. So whereas coaches might want a certain format, at the end of the day, they're going to coach when they're supposed to coach the teams that they coach. And so this will ultimately come down to the pay grade, not necessarily the pay grade, because hell, we got head coaches making a good bit more than a lot of ADs, but structurally, I guess, in the hierarchy of an athletic department and with a university, those decisions will be made beyond the head coaching ranks. But it all leads me back to the question I got right here at the bottom of the screen right now. Is it football season yet? Can we just play football games?
Well, yeah, I agree with that totally. And we'll certainly get into some of the calendar. But I think the intriguing things, too, that I wanted to get your opinion on is that there are some things floating out there. And all this stuff is kind of intertwined together. When we get the format, I think after that, we would get, does the SEC go 8 or do they go 9? Coaches like some of them talked about having a game every year with the Big Ten and then the play-in situation. Now, Trav, here's your reality to this now. Look, I love football, and if they played 100 games, I'd watch all of them.
Yeah.
But I'm also – I learned this from you a long time ago. There's only so much you can do. And my concern and question, I guess, with this is, okay, if you're going to go to 9, you'll make more money. But if you go to 9, you're going to lose one of your sisters of the poor. But then what about playing a Big Ten team? And then the most intriguing thing of all that people, I think, like, but it also concerns them, is this championship Saturday where the top two teams in the SEC will play each other as usual in the SEC championship game. And the next four teams would have two games to decide who else would be going to the playoffs. But Trav, when you think about that, 9 SEC games, a game in the Big Ten, and are you going to play one more? And all that's even before you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to consider. And I know there's a lot of money at stake. And if you're the SEC, I guess what you're still trying to figure out after last year, albeit in a 12-team format, is – are we going to be rewarded for playing those games?
Absolutely.
Because the sense that you got from the SEC after last season was that they weren't really rewarded for some of that. Not that Alabama's problems, for example, were necessarily in the non-con. Took care of business in the non-con. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was more within the league. So those are the things you got to kind of figure out. And in some ways this season, we're going to have some of that within the SEC because Texas is going to go to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Michigan is going to play Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Alabama is going to play Wisconsin. So we're already going to have some pretty good Big Ten SEC flavor this season. And then even beyond that, with some of these teams, they're going to play at least a reputable additional non-con. Alabama's going to go to Florida State.
Yeah,
for example.
Absolutely.
So in some ways, you're already going to see some of that this year. But the play-in part of all this, the potential for that is just semi-mind-blowing for me.
I know
it was kind of laid out as terms of how it would have played out
right
in 2024 if there would have been play-in games beyond the championship game of Texas and Georgia. I guess you would add Alabama, LSU in a rematch.
Yeah. How about kind that?
Of a 4-5 and then what was it? South Carolina,
in Tennessee,
in a 3-6 game. Pretty crazy to consider. And I'm like you, and then trying to make this all work with a transfer portal set up. And I know Kirby Smart talked about this in Destin. Hey, we can talk playoff and we can talk, you know, nine games and all this, but what the coaches really want to know is how are we going to deal with this portal deal? We're going to have one window. We're going to have two. When are we going to have them? The potential for OTAs in college football in June. And as Kirby pointed out, that's great. But then when are we going to have our camps that we usually have in June from a recruiting perspective? And, oh, by the way, you know what else we've been seeing is official visits coming up. I mean, we're about to hit a huge stretch in June, which used to be January years ago, of official visits. It just it doesn't feel like anything's getting figured out, Brent.
No.
They're trying to move things to months where we're already loaded.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the middle of June is when the commissioners are meeting again. And maybe without all the hoopla that you've got in Destin, that they'll be able to get something done.
And that's a question for you right there. We talked about this last week, how SEC spring meetings used to be this quiet, sleepy little event. It was really more of like a getaway for the ADs. And, you know, and they could get together and really have some fun, if any. Talk about issues within the league and things like that. But now with it sort of as a pseudo media days, everything gets amped up. It becomes this sort of stump that Greg Sankey and commissioners get on to talk about their schedule strength and everything. Did you like that, by the way, how much that was harped on by the SEC this week in terms of the gauntlet? You know, I thought we already knew that. I don't know. I guess maybe after only getting three into the playoff, there was a sense of we got to reinforce this message.
Well, but Trev, does this league need to do that?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I felt like they were a team short in the playoff. They should have four.
Yes.
But the sort of reaction to that, it felt like, especially this week in Destin, it felt a little bit below to me. The SEC. I get Sankey protecting his league. I can appreciate that. But you know, this was kind of a one-off last season. Now, if it happens again, you know, I could understand it maybe a little bit better, but it felt a little bit like an overreaction. Although again, I understand where Sankey's coming from because that's his job.
Well, and there are two dates here we need to pay attention to. One would be there's a there's kind of a week before the season begins where the coaches want to be able to have this, and the ADs and the presidents they want. Are we going 8 or 9? And if we're going to do it, when are we going to do it?
Right.
And then December 1st is really the deadline for the playoff situation. When are we going to expand? How are we going to do it? How many teams are we going to? Now, obviously, all this and the big thing that kind of hovers over all this is all the contracts are up for renewal next year. And we know it's going to be 26 through 31 is when all this is going to be happening. So the logical question is, okay, if we're going to play 9 games, we need to go ahead and make a decision because we really need to get that schedule going next year, in order to get that going. So there are just some.
But you don't have clarity on the playoff.
Well, you don't
moving forward.
So I agree.
Your motivation to go ahead and make that move is got to be softened a good bit, you know, by that reality right now. And, you know, I go back to sort of things that we've talked about in the past. And, you know, I always like to get your thoughts on a myriad of topics as it relates to Southeastern Conference football. And so, you know, like, you know, some of the things we've heard in relation to, you know, eight or nine games has to do with rivalries and how they could be impacted.
Yes.
How did you sort of take what we heard this week from a standpoint of, okay, we can go to this sort of approach, but you might be saying goodbye to the Iron Bowl. Yeah. You might be saying goodbye to Georgia, Florida, or some of these games, Brent.
Well, I think so. And that's a great point. Great question. I think some of the coaches and the ADs, when they were asked about that, I mean, they were asked about Alabama and Auburn. The people who ask about it kind of, and they should, dug their heels in and say, we don't want that to go by the wayside. But at the same time, and I hope it's not an either or. I mean, Trav, do you give up Alabama, Auburn, or do you give up Alabama, Tennessee?
Well, so, I can see a scenario where it gets reduced to one.
Yeah.
You either have Alabama, Auburn, or Alabama, Tennessee. And if you don't know, you know, within those fan bases, well, certainly the Alabama fan base, you can get a very mixed sort of response to which of those two is actually Alabama's biggest rival. And really it can have to do with what area of the state you're even in or how old the Alabama fan is that you're talking to. In terms of a brand, the Iron Bowl is the biggest, but it's the third Saturday in October too, with Tennessee and Alabama. Right. So, right. I mean, but I can see where it gets narrowed down to a one or the other with a lot of these and not having the multiple. Well, I mean, there's LSU doesn't want to lose Alabama.
No.
I mean, I know to me, LSU Ole Miss, I think there's a lot of people. LSU Ole Miss is kind of like Alabama, Tennessee to some LSU fans.
Yeah.
But to a lot of LSU fans, it's still LSU Alabama.
True.
That's more of the game.
And you've also got Florida LSU and Florida Tennessee.
Yeah.
That
I remember when Florida and Auburn used to play pretty much every year.
Sure did. Oh yeah, absolutely. And there were some humongous upsets.
Terry
Bowden had one of the biggest upsets, you know, in the history of that series in Gainesville.
I think that was 94.
Yeah.
Frank Sanders in the corner.
Yeah.
From Knicks.
Yeah, from Bo Nix. That's right.
Well, Bo Nix's dad, Patrick. That's how old we're getting.
Yeah, it really is.
But no, I mean, these are the things that, you know, you need to go ahead and kind of prepare yourself if you're a college football fan, because I mean, we've already had the top taken off of a lot of this.
Yeah.
The toothpaste is out of the tube in a lot of ways. And there's more still. Now, all the toothpaste isn't even out of the tube yet.
Oh, no.
There's
no,
still more that's going to be squoze out of this thing in the next year or so.
And Trav, did you catch Kirby's comment about him saying there are players who are getting 25? Trav, it wasn't $25,000 a year.
A month,
It was $25,000 a month. And what he was basically saying was, we're babysitting these kids.
Yeah.
By paying them that kind of money, and that raised a lot of eyebrows. Now, the thing they really need to jump on is, I know a lot of these bigger decisions would be made by the ADs and the commissioners, but Kirby really jumped on, and I understand this, a transfer portal.
Yeah.
And frankly, and look, I don't want to make college football the NFL, but the NFL has done a lot of things right. And one of those things, right, is having – help me on this – is having free agency just once a year.
Well, just having a calendar.
Yeah, absolutely.
College football has no calendar right now.
No, they really don't.
No calendar. They had a calendar, and then the portals came in, and, you know, everything else just blew up. It's been blown up.
Yeah.
And there's – the reconstruction has not really even gotten started yet.
No,
and so, but you're continuing the machine. The machine runs on.
It does.
And it basically the steering cable was cut, and it's veering right now. And, yeah. and so, you know, with statements like the one Kirby made, sometimes I kind of take them with a grain of salt because mm-hmm. coaches aren't immune to hyperbole. Okay. And especially when it comes to who's paying what, who's getting what, and all those things.
Right.
So I still, that's almost one of those, and understanding the money is out there. I get that. I mean, I understand that.
Yeah.
But it's probably a very, very select few.
Oh yeah.
If there are those, you know, but any is a lot right now.
And
it's going to draw headlines and certainly a lot of buzz, but it all takes me back, Brent, to just the question. Is it football season yet? And it is not. Football season for it to be June, and it's basically June now, has never felt farther away to me.
Yeah, I agree.
At this point in the off season than it feels right now. I mean, the football season feels 7 years away right now.
Yeah.
After just the last 3 days.
Right. You know? Well, but Trav, they really need to look, they don't have to solve everything. But there are some things.
It's a fundamental structure.
Yes. Yes. Just pour some
footers. I'm not saying the house and the pool doesn't have to be dried in yet, but can I just get some footers?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, maybe an A-frame.
Yeah.
You know, if we're building a house. I don't need the outdoor fireplace in just yet.
Right.
Just some damn footers.
Yeah. But you would think now with that, you would think by the first of the year, they've got to decide on, is it going to be 8 or 9, one transport for a portal or another one.
So what you're telling me is, and we talked about this, was we really didn't want to go through another football season with so much of the discussion about the direction of the sport.
Yes.
But what you're telling me is, based on this time frame, that's exactly what we're about to do.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing that people get concerned about, and they kind of throw up their hands with on this. Now, the other thing going on that no one has any control over is Judge Wilkins signing off on this House versus Nation thing, and then to get that thing going. So, but it's like you said, you can't do everything. But in the next few months, you've got to know 16, 8 or 9 transfer portal Trav. If they just decided those three things, that would be major progress compared to what's going on right now.
And it also speaks to how just decimated the NCAA is now.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing coming from there.
No.
Really, you know, it's all about the commissioners. And the Power Four and how they decide they're going to proceed. We know how we're going to proceed, though, Brent, in the first couple of 3 weeks of the season for the most part at this point. So let's at least talk about something related to the actual sport of college football. And we hit on this last week, the likelihood that we would see more of these times.
Yeah.
Coming. This is my favorite thing about SEC spring meetings anymore. We get more kickoff days. Now, some of these we already had for week one when you talk about, but we do even for week one have more specific designations for time, kickoffs, and networks. I guess Texas Ohio State was interesting because we found out now that there was talk about trying to play that game on Sunday, the 31st, I think you had mentioned that, but it will be played Texas at Ohio State from the Horseshoe, noon Eastern on Saturday, August the 30th. That'll be a big noon kickoff on Fox.
Yes. And now game day was supposed to be there. We've heard since that they'll probably be at Tallahassee for Florida State. In Alabama for Lee Corso's finale, which would be interesting. But yes, that's the biggest game we think in this point. But I'm telling you, Trav, that Saturday night LSU Clemson thing.
I
think I'm more excited about that than I am Texas Ohio State, frankly.
Yeah. And you know, Brian Kelly this week, didn't he say this is the best team he's had at LSU so far? Yeah.
I'd be careful with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well,
and again, LSU's lost. Yeah. They've lost five openers in a row.
Yeah.
Trav, how much pressure's on Kelly going to Death Valley?
I'll say this for LSU, though. They haven't played San Jose State in some openers. We talked about that. A couple with Florida State, mm-hmm. USC, and Vegas last year. Now, you got to beat SC last year. You know, yeah. if you're LSU, those two Florida State losses were pretty understandable. Mm-hmm. As painful as they might have been, both of them really. Really though, it's week two and week three where we had more of the light shined on kickoff times and networks. And so Saturday, September the 6th, after Texas travels to Ohio State, they will host the Spartans of San Jose State. That'll be a noon Eastern kickoff mm-hmm. on either ABC or ESPN. Mike Elko, that same day at 12:45 Eastern, will host another Aggie. The Utah State Aggies will visit the Texas A&M Aggies. That'll be an early kickoff on Saturday, September the 6th. You got conference play kicking off on the 6th there in week two with Ole Miss traveling to Kentucky. Pretty big game early in the season for really Mark Stoops after the last year or two, right?
There's no doubt about that. And again, Stoops with another new cornerback in Calzada, who is at A&M. They really badly need some early wins. And people aren't so much worried about Stoops being fired as much as they are. Trav, is Stoops just kind of tired of it all? Yeah. And does he really want to do something else?
Yeah, it might almost be mutually beneficial. We'll see how this season goes for the Wildcats. But that's a tough SEC opener, even with Ole Miss going through a lot of changes of its own. But then more of an ability Ole Miss seems to have to hit the NIL, hit the transfer portal, and reload across the board, not just at quarterback, which, you know, Ole Miss, it's not going to be a transfer quarterback situation, it doesn't appear. Whereas Kentucky, that's just been sort of the ongoing theme there behind center. Also on Saturday, September the 6th, Kansas at Mizzou. I like the potential of that one, 3:30 Eastern on ESPN2.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Missouri without Brady Cook. That's going to be interesting to see where they're going to go. And Trav, to me, maybe the game of the day as far as the significance of it, Michigan at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Trav, how bad does Venables need to win a helmet game like that?
Really, really needs to pick up the W there, especially with the changes at quarterback and then also the offensive side of the ball in general, commitment that OU has made in a couple different areas in the backfield for sure. Michigan needs it too. Michigan with a strong finish. I mean, you beat Ohio State and you beat Alabama back-to-back. That usually means you played for something at the end of the season. Not so much for this Michigan team, but feels like some momentum anyway, perhaps, going into that matchup with OU in Norman. Vanderbilt at Virginia Tech, also in that primetime window. Yeah. ACC Network for that one. Hokies and the Doors from Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, 7:30 kickoff. Arizona State at Mississippi State, also at 7:30 on the 6th of September. That game takes on a little bit of a different light after how we saw Arizona State kill it, Kenny Dillingham and that great team he had. No Scataboo for Arizona State heading to Starkville. But, boy, Jeff Levy could use a win of any kind. SEC win, obviously, would be nice. But This would be a great opportunity for State to maybe sort of show some signs of moving forward in year two under Levy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Travis, we look at week three. We'll get into Wisconsin, Alabama, and the kickoff time of that. But the thing that really grabs my attention, also along with Georgia, Tennessee, is Oklahoma going to Temple. Now, this game's not Norman. This game is at Temple.
Philly.
I'm guessing.
Wonder if they're playing that at the Link, the Eagles Stadium.
They are. Yeah. Yes. Well, correct.
It's kind of like Alabama going to USF a couple of years. This is probably what, a 2-for-1, kind of like Alabama USF was, I would guess.
It's got to be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But interesting. You're right. You don't typically see that. What about Georgia, Tennessee?
Man,
early in week three. Yeah. That feels like Georgia, Tennessee from the 90s.
Really?
You would see, you know, like Peyton Manning versus Robert Edwards, the running back for Georgia at the time, with Mike Bobo behind center back around 95, 96 or so, somewhere in that time frame. That's an interesting slot because that game's been played a little bit later in recent years.
And the thing that really sticks out on that game is, Trav, if you're Tennessee, do you want you're breaking in a new quarterback? And I know some people have argued the same thing about Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, but at Tennessee, you're breaking in a quarterback. Do you want him facing that Georgia D that early in the season?
Yeah, and you're replacing some other pieces on that offense too, not just the quarterback situation. So Stockton, as we talked about, has had that benefit of the end of the year starts and game action for the Dogs that I think should benefit him quite nicely. Georgia, man, they've got a September, don't they? They get Alabama, I think, in Athens to close out the month.
They do.
Around that time frame. So we're going to learn a lot about the Dogs very, very early in the season. What about Florida LSU early? Now, that one's been a little bit later in recent years. This one's going to be a hot Saturday night in Baton Rouge.
It really
Gators
is.
And LSU, a measuring stick game, no doubt about it. Brian Kelly says this is the best team he's had at LSU. We're going to find out. Billy Napier, the expectation is going to be that Florida is going to be in the mix for conference and CFP consideration. It's the kind of game that ought to tell us a lot in that regard.
Yeah, and DJ Lagway and how he'll be progressing at that point. Man alive, for week, Trav, for week three, do you remember an SEC schedule?
No.
That is this potent for that early in the season?
Well, with this kind of mix and conference?
Yeah.
Non-conference and conference mix? Because Texas A&M goes to Notre Dame at 7:30 on that same Saturday night. So in that from 3:30
night
on, you know, really? you're gonna have Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, LSU, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Arkansas at Ole Miss. Vanderbilt of South Carolina could have potential.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a heck of a slate. And as you said earlier, you're going to crank things up with whiskey at Alabama. That's going to be an 11 a.m. local time kickoff from Tuscaloosa. The Badges are going to get the 100% West Central Alabama in mid-September weather experience, Brent.
Now I know you've been all over the planet in some of your travels, but Trav, I mean, and I'm just being realistic here. If you're in Wisconsin, and look, I have no doubt it gets hot up there too, but Trav, how in the world do you prepare for the heat and humidity? I'm not sure there's any way you can do that, is it?
You don't. You just hope those commercial timeouts give you a little extra time under those cooling fans. And, you know, it was an early kick last year from Madison, but a little different weather early in the season in Madison as compared to Tuscaloosa. So shouldn't be easy for Wisconsin in a multitude of ways. And, boy, even for Alabama being far more acclimated to the conditions, 3:30 Eastern in Tallahassee in your opener.
Yes.
And then you get noon Eastern against Wisconsin on September the 13th, going to be crispy. Yes. Going to be a little crispy for those Alabama fans as week three moves along. Any other games that you've seen on these releases that maybe stood out to you? I think for teams like Florida, it's huge because even USF in week two, you don't need to trip up there. And teams like USF, if they're going to be dangerous, I think even Alabama found this out with USF the last couple years. USF can be problematic early in the season before the attrition and before the depth really comes into play. So what about some of these games that stand out to you, Brent?
Even on that first weekend, I like that Virginia Tech South Carolina game on Sunday. That will be at 3 p.m. Now, Trev, I believe that game's in the Dome in Atlanta. So that will make a
– Yes, it is.
That's going to make a big difference in that game. Certainly, look, Virginia Tech, we just mentioned Tennessee. They play Vanderbilt, too, in September. But and look, I'm going to be extremely interested, and we've talked about this already, so I won't belabor the point here. Try this Auburn at Baylor game on Friday night, the 29th.
Yeah,
it's a fascinating game on Fox. Hell, man, Lime, that is a big game for Hugh, is it not?
It is a big game for Hugh. They're all big, I think, for Hugh at this point. But you know, Auburn, if it can navigate that road game at Baylor to get things going, you know, then the Tigers are looking at Ball State in a home opener the following week, and then South Alabama. So get by Baylor on the road, and you're looking at 3-0, which is the kind of start you would think Hugh Freeze needs going into year three. So a lot of fun matchups in those first 3 weeks. We're going to talk about them extensively as we move throughout this offseason and get closer to the start of the 2025 college football season. You know what else has been big here of late, too, is SEC basketball. Some teams getting some really good news on the returnee front. I know with Alabama late last night, LeBaron Filon, the outstanding point guard, in a surprise to a lot of folks because he had previously said he was done. He was going to the NBA, actually withdraws his name from the NBA draft. He's going to be back with Aiden Holloway in that backcourt and Latrell Wrightsell there at Alabama. So that was huge for Nate Oates. Boy, you look at Florida and the potential for a repeat with Condon and some of the guys they're getting back. That you've learned about here in the last few days. Auburn has gotten some good news on that front. So from a basketball perspective, Brent, it's been kind of newsy even for this time of year, and it kind of tells you where the SEC is now with hoops.
Well, and obviously the deadline for the NBA has come and gone, but then they needed to make decisions on that. Listen, I was talking about this Filon thing last night. People say, well, how much will it help him coming back? I mean, Filon's a guy to where Filon's capable of scoring, let's just say, the last, 6 to 10 points in a ball game himself.
Yeah, he is.
I think Filon coming back, Trav, could give them, two or three additional wins that maybe they wouldn't have had without him.
Yeah, I think Alabama in the preseason polls before last night, you were going to see around 10th.
Yes.
You know, 8 to 12. I think with Filon coming back now, they move back to 4 to 6. Somewhere in that neighborhood, because he can have certainly that kind of impact, no doubt about it. Brent, anything else before we get out of here on a Thursday night?
Well, I give everybody a magazine update here real quick.
There we go, Max.
Athlon is out this week. And that's going to be trimmed down about 450 words per team. Trav, you and I have written a little bit in our career for the media. Wouldn't you have loved to have a 450-word limit, but what some of the stuff we've done in the past?
Yeah, I could have gone to bed at 2 a.m. instead of 4.
Yeah.
Back in the day, writing those magazines.
Yeah. Yeah. So Athlon's out this week, and next week will be the National Lindy's will be out. And then July 4th, we will have Phil Steele. So that's a little bit of an update along that line. So, but I will say this with, man, they're just something every day or every other day in football and basketball. I remember just kind of yawning through May and June and just, you know, hoping that anything would happen. So, brother, we don't have that problem anymore, do we?
Oh, my gosh. Like I said, I mean, SEC spring meetings used to be just, hey, catch up, play some golf. I mean, you would have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coaches and ADs playing golf in Destin, and maybe they still do, but it's nothing like that anymore.
But Trav, before we go, I know your YouTube is going well. Let us know about some of the stuff you were doing on that with golf, and music, and some other stuff. and Trav, everybody wants to know about coming preview for the summer for Pops.
Yeah, we're going to the beach with Pops on that annual trip coming up. I checked in on him today. Pops is good. You know, I took him some, smoked kingfish dip.
He
got some crackers right out and got right into that. He loves the college softball too, by the way. What a game today earlier with Oklahoma and Tennessee.
Really?
A couple of SEC teams. So he loves the softball, so he is right now. He's in heaven. His first games come on around noon. He watches all day, all night, and Pops is doing well. Pops is hanging in there.
Yeah. And is he any more excited about his Gators at this point?
A little more, I'd say he is. He didn't like his Gator softball team getting shut out by Texas earlier today, but he's. I think he won't admit it because he doesn't want to set himself up to be disappointed. I think his whole thing is he badmouths the Gators, keeps the standards and the expectations low. And then if they exceed those, then he's pleasantly surprised. So that's kind of his approach, you know.
Yeah.
That's Pops. Well, all right, Brent, as always, man, enjoy it right here on Ryer on YouTube. For those of you out there that haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, hit that subscribe button right now. Hit us with a like if you don't mind. That would help us out here on the show tremendously as well. Brent, look forward to doing it again soon.
Me too, bud. Always enjoy it. Take care. Have a great week.
Absolutely. For Brent Beard, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube for Second Helping. And until next time, so long, everybody.